The time.
Look at the time. It is Hutton O'Clock. Noon on a Wednesday, so it is Hutton O'Clock. Caroline Willie D. Mays, 1025-1063, the game in the Game Nashville app. The Titans have been active in free agency, and as of last Friday, active in the trade market as well. Titans trade a 2025 third and swap sevenths with the Kansas City Chiefs in the 2024 draft for cornerback L'Jarius Sneed. Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow, joins us now. Hutton, your initial impression of when the Titans made that trade and the player that they're getting in L'Jarius Sneed?
Well, the initial impression, they get a considerable upgrade at the position compared to what they had last year, and how they've done this through free agency and through the trade. And, I mean, first glance, when I'm reading Schefter's post, I was going to say tweet, post, whatever we want to call it now.
That's a tweet.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Caroline. With your permission, I'll call it a tweet in Twitter.
Perfect.
I did a double take on the compensation. I wanted to make sure it said 2025 on the pick. And, of course, we know the third round had to be next year. And then, you know, the swap of seventh rounders. I was surprised on the compensation, given the fact that Chris Jones played under the tag last year, and then they worked out a one-year agreement with him prior to one game in. I figured it would be something similar if they didn't get the right compensation back. The Chiefs ultimately trade him, and the Titans get an upgrade and a young player that is going into his prime. I think that's key, what they've done with Ridley and with Sneed now, through free agency and through a trade. They've got younger players that are under contract that pair up well with Levis's deal if Levis can pan out. You know, this is the contracts really, they level out with the quarterback as long as the quarterback holds up his end of the bargain.
Willie and I were having this debate yesterday because Willie said, look, this is a rebuild year for the Titans. 6-7 wins, I think, is fair to expect. I said, Look, moves like Calvin Ridley and trading for L'Jarius Sneed and Chidobe Awuzie, like, those aren't rebuild kind of moves. Those are, we want to be a good team this year. What's your take on the moves that the Titans have made and also like, kind of what that means in terms of what they want to accomplish this season?
I still think they're another offseason. This is part of the foundation that they're building with the vision in mind for what they're doing offensively. What they want to do through the draft. But also keep in mind, Caroline, they don't have a lot of pieces in the draft right now. Mm-hmm. They can trade down and get that, but nothing's guaranteed with how the draft falls. So where do they want to add through free agency and get guys under contract versus what they want to do through the draft? And that's ultimately how the rebuild will go, building through the draft and with younger players under contract, rookie contracts. They need another offseason like this one to fully get the jet fuel, so to speak. And there are plenty of holes on the roster that are left unanswered. They've got to do something on the defensive line. And we know that they need another safety. They certainly offensively need another young wide receiver. And it goes without saying at left tackle. There are pieces that they have to go find to this puzzle. I like the foundational pieces that they've done, though. The guys, the three main ones being with Ridley, with Sneed now through the trade, and Awuzie, those guys will be the centerpieces for what they're going to draft with. And the way it's set up and the way they're spending money, you can kind of see the transition from backfield to passing game and on defense. The transition from big money at safety to spending on the outside and then up front. They've got to add someone next to Big Jeff, but Simmons is getting paid and rightfully so too.
We're talking with Jonathan Hutton, Outkick, discussing the Tennessee Titans and the many things they can do in regards to the draft, free agency, or whatnot. Now, Caroline did bring up the question that we sort of went back and forth, where it was really her and Willie went back and forth. Is this a rebuild? Is it?
Yes, it is.
Is it a, you know, going forward? But based upon the moves that they did make, like Caroline said, it does seem like, okay, we don't want to be classified as a rebuild, but maybe we don't want to be classified as a going forward. What would be sufficient enough for Titan fans this season record-wise? Is it 8 wins? Is it 9 wins? Or is it 10 wins? Because I think it's going to take at least 11 or 12 to win this division based upon the quarterbacks that are in this division now.
Well, I mean, Mace, you know how difficult it is to answer that question right now.
Exactly.
And Caroline does too. I don't see a version of the Houston Texans with this team currently. And here's why. There are so many unanswered questions to going into the offseason. And I need to see what they do in the draft. Mm-hmm. Presumably, rookie left tackle, playing next to Skoronski. I don't hate that, especially if it's Joe Alt. All of this centers around two key factors. Number one, we don't know about Callahan. We think we know. I presume benefit of the doubt, and they've hired well, but he's going to be calling plays for the first time as a first-time head coach. That's not easy to do. It's not just snap. Now, it's a trend in the league that you're hiring a guy to do that, going through the McVay tree. A lot of the branches have done that, even with LaFleur when he was here with Vrabel. Okay, let's just presume that that's going to go fine. Nothing is smooth, but fine. And then there's Levis. There's a huge piece to this with Will Levis. We saw flashes of that last year. Now he's going into a different offense, albeit one that should be quarterback friendly and where they're going to develop him behind the scenes even better. Great. But the pieces along the way, they need another young wide receiver. I don't even think about Treylon Burks right now. I should, but I don't. And we know up front of the defensive line, they've got to have other pieces there. Offensively, tight end comes to mind. You know, there are still openings across the roster that they haven't solved, and they're not going to win at that high of a rate without doing so. And that's just being a part of the NFL. And they can't do that over one off season. This is not going into the off season looking at this roster. It was not a quick fix. The depth, consider where we're talking about on the depth of this team, mm-hmm. The depth and just the NFL, true NFL roster depth. This team was one of the worst last year, and 1 through 53, they haven't done enough to improve that part of the issue that I had with the team over the last couple of years. That's really how you win 9 or 10 games. Mm-hmm. And while Ridley is, you know, can be a fantastic player, same with Snead, you know, they're playing on teams that had been built over the last couple of seasons instead of one big offseason. There are pieces to that, but I don't think it's one quick fix, one regime change, and a team with 7 picks, 3 of them in the 7th round, and think that everything is just going to be great. I think from a fan perspective, you're going to want to win in the fall, mm-hmm. But I'm a believer of it's not if you lose, it's how you lose. And Amy Adams Strunk doesn't want to lose. She's spending the money. They had the capital to do it. I'm glad we're seeing that. I'm glad we're seeing them this aggressive. But I don't think that automatically means 10 wins in the division change mm-hmm. At the top for them. I think this doesn't have to be a long process, but it is a process. And I'm trying to remind myself of that, too, based on the players that they acquire.
Yeah, you're right about that because, listen, it took them some years to get in this situation, so it's going to take them a few years to sort of get out of this situation, meaning building up your depth. They were not able to do that because of the lack of hit in your draft, and that's neither here nor there, but it's going to take them a few years to sort of build up that cupboard again. But you mentioned Treylon Burks, and I've heard everybody mention Treylon Burks. Like, listen, we're not thinking about him, but if he comes on, great. I think you have to, from this standpoint, from what you just said, Hutt, this team doesn't have much depth. So they're going to have to count on a Treylon Burks to finally realize the potential or make do on the potential that he has. They're going to have to rely on a Peter Skoronski to play up to, you know, the position he was drafted. Whoever they draft this year, they're going to have to expect him to come on and be an impact player. Why? Because the depth is not there. And if you don't have depth, then, yes, you got to count on these guys that maybe – especially Treylon. Maybe after 3 years on another team that has depth, you can say, well, if he comes on, great. If he doesn't, then we got enough depth. We'll be fine. But with the Titans, you don't have that depth. So you're going to have to count on a Treylon Burks to come on this season. I think if Treylon comes on, whoever they draft this season, this offseason, whether it's the left tackle or anybody else, and Peter Skoronski and a quarterback. If those three or four guys play up to their level, then to me, this is a 10-win team.
Okay, well, okay. You know, we were hearing from Carthon and the presser right after they fired Vrabel, where he's mentioning how many one-possession games they lost, right? The seven-point games or whatever they threw out there. That's typical for the league. Even bad teams are playing close games. And the Titans were a bad team. Let's not get that twisted. But Mace, when it comes to Treylon Burks, it's
and that's just
on,
a question in regards to Treylon. Like he needs.
Oh,
to
I know
on.
That. Yeah. No doubt. I mean, they have to count on the fact that he's a part of he's a piece. But right now, I can't count on the fact that the guy's going to be on the field. Now, it's not. I'm not saying that all on Burks. That a concussion is. That's. I set that aside. Like I take that seriously. You know. Mm-hmm. But the other fact, the knee and everything else. A lot of times that just goes along a guy's career. I mean, we just kind of see he's known as right now. That's kind of the narrative I have for him. He's in the training room quite a bit, so I don't know. That's why he's out of sight, out of mind to me. Mm-hmm. But when he does play, he's got to be consistent. Now, there were games, week one comes to mind, where he's not getting the ball thrown his way. Hopkins is getting 13 or 15 targets, whatever it was, against New Orleans. All of that to say, he's got to be a piece. I don't know where he is in the hierarchy, though, because at this time last year, Treylon Burks was the number one receiver on this roster. Mm-hmm. They didn't have Hopkins yet. And we're looking at this going into the draft thinking they're going to load up at receiver. And then they draft Tajay Spears and they're laughing at the camera during the draft. So, like, Carthon was in that room too, enough to where they counted on him then. So they have to be at least in a positive mindset with him, because last year at this time, that's how they were treating it. But it's on Burks to take over in a mindset of this is a reset, not just for me, but for this offense. It's a pass happy offense, and Hopkins is even going on the record talking to receivers in Cincinnati. This should be a transformational offseason for Treylon Burks if he takes it seriously and is a pro behind the scenes, because he has the ability. We saw this at Arkansas. When he was drafted 16th overall and A.J. Brown was traded, the thought was, okay, this is the best option to come in and be a version of what A.J. Brown was. And it's been anything but that. But it doesn't mean he can't do it. I just haven't seen it, and it's seen as believing for me now instead of just what the potential is because of where he is contractually and the whole fifth-year option and everything else that comes up. This is a big season and a big offseason for him. And last offseason, while we didn't have the same headlines, Mace, with him, the assumption was, man, they're really going into a year with Treylon Burks as their number one. Things must be looking on the up. And then by week one, we didn't see him get the football. That's different, though. I'm saying that as they viewed him as a one or a two. Mm-hmm. I don't know how they view him as a three or a four. And while Tannehill's not looking his way, Levis can look his way. It's just a different different direction with the offense. He should be flourishing now, especially with Hopkins and Ridley ahead of him. This dude should blossom this year. Mm-hmm. But it's more on him now, given the structure of what they've done at the position.
Yeah, you're right. It's going to be, solely up to him. And I Mace, don't, I don't.
Mace.
When, yeah, go ahead.
Behind the scenes, in your locker room, Baltimore, or when you're here, what are you telling a guy like that, a young player, you're a vet like you were?
I'm pulling him aside and telling him, like, dude, you got to figure this out. Like, you have all the – I will build him up as much as I possibly can. You have all the potential. But I will be honest with him, like, listen – if you don't go out there and show it, your ass ain't going to be here. I'll be serious with him. Listen, you have more potential than I do as a player. But if you're not, working on that, and if you're not making do on that, they're going to cut you because they've given you 3 years. That's how honest I would be with them.
I mean, honestly, like today, if the season started today, would Nick Westbrook-Ikhine be wide receiver 3 over Treylon Burks?
I wouldn't put him wide receiver 3. I like Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. I do. But I wouldn't put him because of
making
again,
the assumption that D-Hop
yeah,
and Calvin Ridley
exactly
are
making the assumption those two are one and two. Anything can happen during training camp. They could elevate one guy, whatnot. But I've seen enough in Traylon that I know he can do it. But me believing he can do it and him actually doing it consistently, Hutt, that's a different yep. story. You know,
and he's got to be available.
Yeah,
be available.
He has to be able. Now, with that being said, what they did from a secondary standpoint, they go get Chidobe, and then they go get Ladarius Sneed. They still need depth at that position.
Yes.
You draft yep. your guard. I mean, you draft your tackle first round. Should they double back and draft in the second round, you believe, a corner, even though they did go out and pay money for two corners? Should they go the corner route or should they go the defensive line route? I'm not even thinking about wide receiver, honestly. I'm not. Not in the second round.
Okay. Not high? Yeah, because you, are you saying just because you can get production elsewhere?
Yeah, I think you can get the production. And I think you have three guys on your roster. Well, really four with Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. Yep. They're all veteran guys. They all do something a little bit different. Now, you're just waiting on that one guy to really kick it in the gear, and we all know who that one guy is. But other than that, I go get a receiver in the fourth round, but I'm not spending a first or second round pick on a receiver this year.
What are you doing at tight end, too, is another question I would have for depth. But, like, hey, I think they're going to load up at corner. Mm-hmm. But safety, too. They need another caliber safety next to Hooker. So, I mean, there are still pieces – that you can have a not even necessarily plug and play. You can actually draft some development players with these coaches that are supposedly known for doing that. But just the background of what they did at offensive line coaching wise, and knowing what they've done coaching wise in the secondary with their defensive coordinator too. Just you can kind of see where the priorities are going to be, and corner is still going to be one of those, given what they've done this offseason, but also. You know, McCreary can play inside, which is where they want him to play. And you have big length. You have length on the outside at corner, physical guys at the line of scrimmage, and a quick passing game league. Now, to me, it's imperative that you go. Autry's a big loss because to get to the quarterback fast, in a quick snap, pop, and pass league. Now, you want the physical corner with the receiver. And you want pass rush from the inside because on the outside pass rush, it's getting harder and harder to actually get to the quarterback in time. So with Simmons and then losing Autry and what the piece that he was, he's one of those players that no one ever thinks of or talks about. He views it as a role player, but the role is so big for this league now. And that's why you're seeing defensive tackles get paid. There's money invested in that spot now because that's how you can affect a quarterback in that center and guard mix that you're attacking. They've got to do something there because it's not just Jeffrey Simmons and everyone else. It was Jeffrey Simmons and Danico Autry, and they don't have that number. They don't have that production in one player currently. That's a huge piece that I think they have to put pretty high on the priority list. Can I ask Mace one question, Caroline?
Go ahead.
Go ahead,
Derek. Does the kickoff rule piss you off being a special team player and a return guy? We're going to see. Mm-hmm. Think about the names over the years that have made names for themselves in the return game or being like the special teams guy, and that job is going away. I mean, it's almost evaporated. I don't know if we'll see a kickoff in 2 or 3 years, honestly. What are players saying, and what does it mean for guys that made a name for themselves early in their career as the special team returner that then became the veteran wide receiver, for instance?
Me being old school, I understand why they are doing it. I really do.
Lawsuits and stuff?
Yeah, lawsuits. I don't even really think it's about the lawsuits. It's they know they got a lot of money tied up in these players, whether you're a special teams player or not, and they're trying to limit, the concussions. They're trying to limit the injuries, especially on plays like that. I think if they could take it away altogether, they would. But then that would mean a lot of people out of jobs. A lot of players.
Yeah, do we have Devin Hester's anymore?
No, because of the way the rule, even before they changed it to what it's going to be now, there still was rule changes in regards to kickoff. But here's what's going to make it interesting. As I read more about the rule, it's going to be we're going to see more kickoffs return. Now, whether they're returned for touchdowns, a different story. But we're going to see more kickoffs return. Why? Because there's a piece in that rule that states that if you don't hit it in that drop zone, if you kick it over the drop zone, like kicking it back in the end zone, then the team gets to start the ball, I think, at the 30 or 35.
But, 35, I think, and then it's the 30 on a catch or something.
But if you kick it within that kick zone, then, you know, more than likely you kick it high. What they're trying to incentivize, I think, here is they're trying to lessen the concussions but still bring a little excitement to the kick return, because I do believe you're going to see more balls return because they just can't kick them out the back of the end zone anymore. Because if you kick it out the back of the end zone, I think you start on a 35, somewhere around there. It's no longer the 25. So you're going to be giving up 10 yards if you kick it out the back of the end zone. You're going to see teams doing more like high kicks, trying to get a fair catch. You're not going to see as many kicks going out the back of the end zone, I believe, because of the way the rules has changed. But are we going to see more kickoff returns for touchdown? I don't think we are. Those days of Devin Hester, you know, Mitchell, Farr, Cordell Patterson, myself, who else? Just name really good kickoff returners that have played in this league.
Cribbs.
Yeah, Josh Cribbs. Those days are going to be gone. I mean, I forget the kid we had here some years ago. Why am I forgetting his name, receiver?
Mariani.
Yeah, Mariani. Mark Mariani. The days of seeing guys like that, they're gone.
Do they make rosters anymore?
I think it's going to be hard, but now you're going to have to do – you're going to have to be a little bit more valuable to the team with your original position now. Mm-hmm. Like if you're a running back, you need to –
You're a running back. You're not a specialist.
Exactly. You're not a specialist.
If you're the third running back, you're a teamer, if you're active.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, so you're going to have to see – you're going to start seeing bigger roles from these guys now.
On the note of rule changes, quickly, before we let you go, your thoughts on the hip drop tackle rule change?
I hate it. It's going to – teams – there will be games that will be lost based on this rule.
Oh, yeah.
Not because of a flag. It's going to be because a dude doesn't tackle someone.
They can't bring him down.
For fear of a penalty or a fine. Mm-hmm. They will not tackle someone. And that will be the difference in a ball game. And that guy will be viewed as the guy who didn't try. That's how I'm viewing it. Because the hip drop, I mean, at some point, these guys are not trying to hurt the other player. They're trying to do their job and tackle football. Trying to get him to the ground. Now, there's a very specific way they're going to penalize. You know, your body's off the ground and you're like using your weight to pull him down. I don't know if that's going to be penalized every single time, but it will be. It'll be fined. Guys will be on a Friday. They'll get a fine in their locker, and guys are defensive players learned how to play corner when the rules were against them. They learned how to tackle in a different way instead of the helmet to helmet. They've evolved to the rules. They'll do this too, but. Mark Andrews, Tyreek Hill last year, both injured on plays like this. And now they're trying to make sure that guys don't even attempt to tackle like that. When at times, there are times where that's the only thing you can do, especially if you're coming from the side, mm-hmm. side to side. The flag, the 15-yard penalty will affect it. At the same time, the guy that doesn't go for the tackle, he's going to be viewed as the guy that didn't give much effort. And I hate that.
I don't like it either. I'm all for making the game safer, but also, like, we need to have a game. We need to be able to play the game of football.
They said 20 or 30,000 plays like this.
Jeez.
And they determined that the chance of injury was 20 to 30% higher on tackles like that. Now, I can see where that would be. We have just probably the body weight and all that. But, I mean, yeah, this is tackle football.
Yeah.
This is not a head injury. So I view this real different than I do the helmet to helmet and, you know, keeping the head up and all the stuff like that. This is not targeting. I don't like this compared to the targeting rule, which I understand. I need the whole injury thing. This is football. Guys are going to get hurt. It's just part of the sport. And it's not like you can just play flag unless you want to play flag. And that is an Olympic sport.
As it should be.
Yeah.
Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow. Hutt, appreciate you for stopping by. Always appreciate your time and your insight. We'll catch up with you next Wednesday.
Yep. I appreciate it. Have a great rest of the week, guys.
Thanks a lot, Hutt.
You as well. Jonathan Hutton, he is the best and always appreciate him. On Wednesdays at noon, we'll react to what Hutton had to say there. We'll get into your phones. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Plus, I want to get into a little bit deeper this kickoff change, because there's nobody better to comment on it than D-Maze. So we'll do that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Maze, we're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.
Yeah, I think it's a massive change. It's a huge rule change. Now, I will say this. You know, I think we sometimes, you know, argue against the National Football League and like, do you really care about player safety? You're adding more regular season games. Do you really care about it? You know, like that type of stuff. This 100% is a player safety, longevity of the game decision. The NFL studied it. They know that kickoff and kickoff return, you know, the kickoff play in general is, you know, leads to more concussions disproportionately than any other play in the game. And that's why, if you just think about the changes, like, shoot, go back to when my dad played, you used to be able to cut on kickoff return, got rid of that. Then, you know, you had wedges. They got rid of the wedges. Then they got rid of, you know, the running starts from 10 yards deep for the kickoff team. They've, you know, adjusted where the ball goes on a touchback. There have been kind of little modifications along the way because the NFL knows that it's a really dangerous play and there are a lot of guys getting hurt and a lot of guys getting hurt with head injuries.
That was Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, on our show yesterday on the new NFL kickoff rules, the new changes. So if you've watched any XFL games, the kickoff that they use in the XFL, that will now be the NFL kickoffs, in which the receiving team can line up at the 40. Now, teammates, correct me if I'm get any of these details wrong. Uh-huh. Receiving team lines up at the 40. Mm-hmm. The kicking team lines up at the 35. And nobody can move until the ball gets into the hands of the returner or between the goal line and the 20-yard line. Your thoughts on the rule changes from a player perspective?
I mean, I don't know how much, because I have to sort of take myself out of, you know, the early 2000s and what I seen and what I was a part of to what it is now. I'm not sure that, you know, returners now really care, because this is what they're used to. This
only
is what
they 20% yeah. of kickoffs have been returned.
Exactly. So this is what they, a lot of these kids, you know, I call them kids because some of them are the same age as my son and daughter, but this is all they've known, is sort of these new kickoff rules. So now that you sort of expand the kickoff rules and, you know, you do it in this manner, I don't think, you know, players are neither happy nor mad about the situation. It's just like, okay, whatever, let's just go. But it's going to be interesting. Like I told you, Caroline, during the break, you're going to see more returns. You're definitely going to see more returns. Now, the NFL could not implement this rule and not, because if you implement this rule without changing sort of like certain nuances within the rule, then what you're going to have essentially is a bunch of balls being kicked out of the back of the end zone, and you're not going to get a return anyway. And then people thinking, well, why did you change the rules? We're not getting returns anyway. Well, there's a caveat to this. Now, there's this thing called the landing zone. It's the goal line and the 20. Every ball must land in the landing zone, which means there's going to be more returns.
And if it doesn't land in the landing zone?
If it doesn't land in the landing zone, say if it lands before the landing zone. Now, this is how I'm interpreting the rule. Before it lands in the landing zone, so the landing zone is the 20 to the goal line. If you just kick it out the back of the end zone, they get to start the ball at the 30, 35, somewhere around there. I think it's the 30. Whereas before it was the 25.
Uh-huh.
Now it's essentially a penalty.
Essentially like a 10-yard penalty.
Exactly. So now you go from the 25 to the 30. And if I'm reading it right, some even said the receiving, I'm going to read it how it's written. The setup zone, a 5-yard area from B35 to B30-yard line, where at least 9 receiving teams. That's sort of the alignment. Now, the landing zone is the goal line to the 20. It says in this, in the new rules, and I'm looking at it on NFL.com, any kick that hits short of the landing zone is the 20.
So at like the 25.
Yeah, if it hits at the 25, 21, it don't matter. Mm-hmm. If it hits short of the landing zone, treat it like kickoff out of bounds and the ball spotted at the 40.
At the 40?
At the 40-yard line. So you are 2 first downs. Well, hell, if you're Baltimore, you're 1 first down.
If you're Miami.
Exactly. You're 1 first down from getting at least a field goal. And I say Baltimore because
Justin
of their
Tucker.
Tucker. You're 1 or 2, you know, first downs from hitting the field goal. So
the 40-yard line.
The ball will be placed at the 40-yard line.
So it's essentially a 15-yard penalty if you kick it short.
It says play would be blown dead as soon as the kick lands short of the landing zone. So there's no returning. Like if the up back is at the 25 and he catches the ball, there's no returning. It's an automatic penalty.
Automatically.
So what they're doing is we're changing the rules, but we're incentivizing more returns, which we will get because now kickers have to be specialized now.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have kickers that can kick corner kicks, angle kicks, high kicks. It's not about having a strong leg anymore for kickoffs. It's not because you don't want to kick the ball out the back of the end zone because you're basically penalized for it. You want to get a kicker that can kick a high, short ball within the 20 and the goal line because if he doesn't, then it's essentially a penalty. If you kick it short of it, no return penalty. If you kick it behind it, it's a penalty basically. So they're trying to incentivize returns. That's what they're trying to do.
How do you feel about it? Like if this was the rule when you mm-hmm. were returning kicks, how would you feel about it?
If I was used to the old and then they threw this in here, I probably wouldn't like it at first. I would have to get used to it.
Fair.
This is what now, especially on kickoff, strategy comes into play big time here. Big time, not just for the kicker, but for those who are returning. Now you got to figure out, how am I going to cover this return? Because we're essentially, 10 yards, 15 yards apart, each line. I can't move until the ball is caught. Before, you can move as soon as it's kicked.
Yeah.
Even with the old rules, you know, the ones that they updated. You still were able, as soon as he kicked the ball, you were able to run down.
Yeah.
Now, you got to wait till the guy catches the ball and starts running or the ball hits the ground. You can't move until then.
If they do move.
I think it's a penalty. They don't say what the penalty would be on here, but I'm sure it was a penalty because they emphasize you can't move.
Start.
Exactly. You can't move until the returner catches the ball or the ball hits the ground. But if the ball hits the ground or rolls into the end zone, there's no more just down in it. If the ball rolls in the end zone, the player has to go back and get the ball and down it.
Or run it.
What we've seen the last 5 years was, or at least the last 3 or 4, is the minute the ball rolls into the end zone, guys are just walking away. They blow it dead. Mm-hmm. Not anymore. You got to physically get the ball and down it like you used to when I was, you know, when I first started playing in 97. You had to physically catch the ball and down it. Because if you didn't down it, if I tackle you in the end zone, that's 2 points for me.
I think from the fan and the viewer perspective,
mm-hmm.
I think this is only going to improve the game. I think it's going to make kickoffs more exciting.
I think it will because you're going to get more
strategy.
Exactly,
more
strategy.
More returns, mm-hmm. more plays, actual plays, mm-hmm. meaningful plays on kickoffs. It's going to be weird. Like, it's going to be changed, just like any rule change or any adjustment in the game takes a little bit of time.
Mm-hmm.
But I went to an XFL game last season, and uh-huh. it's all kind of funky different rules. It's the new kickoff, and it's the different tiers of extra points. Like, mm-hmm. you can kick 3-point extra pointer if you want to. It's just further back. So a bunch of different and funky rules. honestly, I loved it.
It's
different, but it's more fun. It adds more energy and excitement into the kickoff. There's more strategy into it. There's more layers to it. So it's going to take time, but I do think from a viewer and a fan perspective, it's a positive change.
And also what's going to happen here is watch teams start in critical situations. Teams starting to put their fastest player back there. A Tyreek Hill, a Waddle.
Interesting.
You know, probably not Devontae Smith. He's frail, but fast as hell. Even A.J. Brown. Guys that are good.
Jamar?
Maybe not Jamar Chase. Maybe not
Jefferson?
Him. No. Jefferson ain't touching
it. He's a little too skinny.
Yeah. And then he's worth a little bit too much. But
so is Tyreek Hill.
But I would not say it will never happen, because what you're trying to do is, now if I put my fastest player back there, because now they got to wait till I catch the ball before they move.
Like, who in the Titans would you put back there? Ridley?
I would put Spears back there.
Oh, interesting.
I'll put Spears back there, because now it's almost like a running back in a sense. Now I got to find, because once I hit that first wave, this is why strategy is going to be very important. Once I clear that first wave, once you give me a little small hole and I clear that front wave, it's gone. I may be gone. So strategy on the other side is going to be critical, because you got to have sort of this two-layer sort of return, which they did in the previous years, but now is even more important, because everybody, even though they're running, they're almost in a standstill still. Because when I catch the ball, now you run. I get to my top speed faster than you're going to get to your top speed, because by the time you even get close to your top speed, somebody's in front of you, mm-hmm. blocking you. So now strategy is going to be huge for special teams coach when it comes to kickoff returns.
I like it.
I like it too.
I think there's special teams coaches out there that don't. I'm sure there are special teams coaches out there that don't
know. A lot of these special teams coaches are the ones that brought up this rule. That wanted this rule. Yeah, based upon what I've read, a lot of them brought forth this rule. They wanted it changed. They're getting it changed. Why? It's because they're getting more returns now.
Mm-hmm. It's fun.
Back then, they wasn't getting it. Last year, they didn't get a lot of returns. Why? No. Kick the ball out of the back. And
why,
they got
why would you return
exactly.
it?
And special teams coaches got tired of that, the return part of them. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, we don't get any returns, you know? So let's make it so it's safer, but we're still getting returns. And I think this rule is perfect for it.
We'll get right into your phones on this coming up next. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 1025-1063 The Game.
Welcome.
Caroline, Willie, D. Mace. Score big this spring with Lee Company and the Nashville Predators in the 10K Power Play Giveaway. Enter for a chance to win a Kohler home generator or $10,000 toward Lee Company Home Services. That's right, a Kohler home generator or $10,000 toward Lee Company Home Services. So go online to leecompany.com/giveaway to enter. That's leecompany.com/giveaway in the 10K Power Play Giveaway. Contest entries are accepted until Saturday, April 20th. Lee Company, all you need. All right, promise phones, we are right into your phones, and our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Your reaction to the NFL's kickoff change or to anything that we touched on with Jonathan Hutton, Titans in free agency, in the draft. Kenny the Mailman is on the line. 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you want to get in on the conversation. What's up, Kenny?
Hello, good friends. This is an appropriate topic talking about special teams, because today is the birthday of my special favorite special teams player of all time for the Titans. That's good old 59, number 59, Tim Shaw.
Did you know it is his birthday? Happy birthday, Tim.
Happy birthday.
I saw it in my feed. Yes, I did.
And a lot of people didn't think, you know, this would be possible, but I'm so happy. He's lived on my route the whole time he's been in Nashville, and I've seen the journey he's been on. And I call him, you know, most times MVP stands for most valuable player, but to me he's the most valuable person. Still thinks about others in his condition. When my wife was going through cancer, at her lowest moment and hardest days, she would get a letter from Tim. Most of us don't write letters anymore. He has to write letters with his eyes, and then his computer will type it out, and his family will mail it. And that's what he would go through just to make sure my wife knew somebody was praying for her. So
that's wonderful.
I just wanted to take a minute to let everybody watch on YouTube. He's got some great, great videos, and y'all have a great, great day.
Thank you, Kenny.
Thank you for your call, Kenny. It is a great story.
And happy birthday to Tim. I don't know how old he is. Can't be that
25.
Old. 25. Yeah, he's 25 years old.
Happy 25th.
But no, he's been such an inspiration to a lot of people here in Nashville. So happy birthday to you, Tim.
Happy birthday. We'll get into some of your texts. Kurt Texan says, it looks like the no-hip tackle will benefit tight ends and wide receivers and running backs. Duh.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't beef it at anybody else.
Get tackled.
Yeah.
It benefits the offense, and it's a huge disadvantage to the defense.
Yeah, it is. I just want to know how they're going to teach this, how they're going to regulate it. And was there that many injuries for you to even go down this route? Now, again, I have criticized the NFL many times for being reactive rather than proactive. So I got, even though I don't like the rule, and it makes it even harder for the defensive players, I got to give them a hand clap because they are being proactive. They don't want it to become an issue moving forward. They don't want to continue to lose marquee players moving forward. Because make no mistake, it ain't about the third string guy. It's not about 51 or 52 on your roster. It's about 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, maybe even 1. That's who this rule is about. Keeping our marquee players healthy. When you see a Tyreek Hill goes down, you see how it affects Miami. When you see an Andrews goes down, and you see how it affects Baltimore. Some of these other injuries that we've seen because of that. There hasn't been a huge amount of them, but to them, 2 is too many or 3 is too many. So I would give them a hand clap because they are being proactive, but I don't see how this helps the defense whatsoever. I don't.
I think the rule is going to change.
You think it's going to change again?
Like where it is right now, it's, you know, hip drop tackle, 15-yard penalty, yeah, automatic first down. I think that's way too subjective. And yeah. I also think that's way too difficult. Like Hutton joined us earlier and he said, teams are going to lose because of this. Not because of a 15-yard penalty, but because a defensive player is going to go, what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to just get him down and take the 15-yard penalty? Do I just let him go out of fear of the 15-yard penalty? I think we're going to get to a point where defensive players, defensive coordinators, defensive coaches, just they don't know where to go, what to do, how to teach tackling.
Well, you see it already. Whether you want to go back to, you know, Pierre Paul, I think it was him, when the Titans played the Giants way back when Vince Young was there, when they were really honing in on, you know, roughing the passer, and he basically wrapped Vince Young up. But for some reason, in his mind, he's thinking, probably, I don't want to get a penalty, so I'm just going to blow the whistle, do something, because I don't want to get a penalty, and end up basically letting him go, and Vince Young end up getting a huge scramble on that play. So
you may as well just take the penalty.
We've seen it starting back then. So now they're going to have to, you know, it's almost like we tell players, like, just go out there and play. Use your instinct. You know it. Use your instinct. We go through the, you know, 3 days of practice or 4 days of practice for this one moment. Trust your eyes. Trust what you see. Trust what you've learned. Just make the tackle. Don't even think about it. Well, now they got to think. Now they got to think like, okay, if I'm trailing behind him, how do I tackle him? Did I just go at his legs? Do I grab him by the waist and just, I don't know.
Hope for the best.
Exactly. Hope that they don't call a penalty. I'm with you. They
push
may
them forward.
Yeah,
and give
they
up
may
the
have
yards?
To sort of rethink this rule after this season, mm-hmm. depending on how many calls that are made.
Yeah.
This season, I do predict there will be more calls made in the preseason.
Totally.
Than in the regular season, but I think there's going to be a moment or two in the regular season where either the 15-yard penalty is going to cost the team, or a player saying, I don't want to tackle him. I'm going to try to tackle him this way, end up missing the tackle.
Yeah.
And the guy ends up getting the first down. Hutt's right about that. I think those things will start to happen.
And I think they're going to want to set the precedent early
yeah.
of, look, this is the rule change and we're going to enforce it. I mm-hmm. totally expect that. But what I don't want to see is every single down, another 15-yard penalty for a hip drop tackle, another 15-yard penalty for a hip drop tackle. I don't think it's going to be that dramatic that you're seeing it 10 to 20 times a game. But it's just, I just play the game. I just want to see them play the game. I am all for making the game safer, but play the game.
Yeah, football is a contact sport. Come on.
Unfortunately, injuries happen.
Yeah, you're
right. Can't completely eliminate them from the game. All right, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get back into your phones and your thoughts and reaction from the NFL kickoff changes. But coming up next, Jim Wyatt had a great piece on TennesseeTitans.com. He sat down with Rand Carthon, kind of a pre-NFL draft conversation with Rand Carthon. We know it's lying season. We know it is smokescreen season. We know it is deceit season in the NFL, especially as far as GMs are concerned. So what Rand Carthon had to say with Jim Wyatt, we buying it? We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline Willie D. Mace. Hey, tomorrow is your chance to participate in Predators Pick to Click. If you correctly guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the Preds game tomorrow night, then you will win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. And let me tell you, that's the hottest ticket in town, those freaking Predators. Participate with Robbie and Rexroad tomorrow morning at 8:45 a.m. Pick to Click brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. List your home with TJ to get your home seen, heard, and sold.